Metaphor, Refantasio.
Oh, okay.
Astrobot.
Okay.
Black Myth, Wukong, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Balatro, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree DLC. These are all the nominees for Game of the Year at Jeff Keighley's Game Awards.
Wait, really?
Yes.
That's a list.
That's a list. It is a very shotgun kind of a list.
Yeah, Shadow of the Erdtree?
Shadow of the Erdtree has
I didn't even think people liked that much.
I think they liked it enough, but I don't know if it's a weird one to include because I think the size of it is bigger than something like Balatro, but it's also not its own game. I feel like also it's double dipping on an already Game of the Year award winning game that people are a little bit upset about it being like, this is just DLC, you guys. Boy, I don't know.
Have the Game Awards been kind of going off the rails for the last couple of years?
The Game Awards have never been on the rails.
Yeah, I guess
so. I don't know
right.
what people
okay,
are
you're
upset
right,
about.
Right.
Again, but you know what I think is an award show that's on the rails?
The Heavens Awards?
The Heavens Awards.
Oh, they're going to be great this year.
Yes, the upcoming Heavens Awards.
I have not even started preparing.
I have started preparing. We've got a lot going for us. They're going to be December 15th. That's the episode. It's going to be the Heavens Awards. Really excited for that. So stay tuned.
I'll be recording
for
that right after I get back from Norway.
Get those Game Awards out of here and join us for the Heavens Awards. December 15th. We're preparing you all month for it here on Storm Butts.
I thought you started playing Metaphor Refantasio. I really wanted to hear about it.
No. With what time?
Yeah, I guess.
We got to talk about the games we talked about this month. Oh boy, let's get into it. We're sunsetting Goldvember by talking not only about Sea of Thieves, but about every game we've played this month for Goldvember, here on Storm Buds. That was a good one.
Yeah.
It did it. It's been a bit. It's been a hot minute.
You're good at this.
Hi! Welcome one, welcome all to this, the final episode of Goldvember.
Crikey.
Was that Steve Irwin? Is he back?
No, mate.
Okay. Well,
is this not what the voice of Austin Powers does?
Oh, yes. I suppose Austin Powers has been on holiday in Australia for the past 20 years, and he's here now with us.
That's my pitch for Austin Powers 4.
Yes. Oh, boy. I can't wait for my return in Austin Powers 4.
I'm doing kind of half Australian, half Kiwi. It's not really coming together very well.
It's Austin Powers 4, calling Squidgina.
I saw that. I saw the Entertainment Weekly. You nailed it. That's exactly what it's called.
I can't fit coming 2026.
Ryan has a cover story.
I am your host, your golden boy of light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my co-golden boy of light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello.
Hello.
This is, of course, Goldvember, but also Stormbuds, a video game podcast with a monthly theme, and this month's theme was Goldvember. All the games that we could think of on very short notice that had to do with gold.
Not all of them. I wanted to do Wario Land Shake It.
We should have probably done that and The Thief. But we're going to talk a little bit about I think about every game a little bit.
Because, I think so, yeah.
We've got to talk about Sea of Thieves, but also I've rolled credits on all of the games we've played after the fact.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so I did not beat Golden Sun, but I beat the other two. So
God. So I think we want to get our thoughts about Sea of Thieves and the thought was behind covering Sea of Thieves for an entire month, and then what actually happened. and we're also going to talk a little bit about, the Nancy Drew game we started 3 weeks ago. And we'll also talk about, I think, what was last week? It was Rise of the Golden Idol, right? So I have since finished those two. Alex finished those a while ago. And then I finished Golden Sun. And there wasn't too much. I was like a dungeon away from finishing Golden Sun. Did you go back and do that one?
Golden Sun?
No, not so much?
No, not really.
Okay, well, I mean, our thoughts remain on Golden Sun. This great game. Awesome. Super.
Yeah, Golden Sun.
Great, great RPG. Awesome.
Super cool.
Super cool. Super neat. Our thoughts on Sea of Thieves. Less straightforward.
Man, I was looking forward to this one.
So was I. That's why I pitched it. I think ultimately the both of us over the course of really, really trying over the past three, four weeks, ending up kind of continually bouncing off of Sea of Thieves. If you're not familiar with Sea of Thieves at this point, or this is your first episode, welcome. Hi. We tried playing Sea of Thieves for the entirety of Goldmember in search of pirate gold. And what we found was it was certainly pirate. There was, I don't know if it was gold, though.
We mostly got skulls.
Mostly skulls.
Okay, so I guess before we talk about the game itself, on like a kind of meta layer, I think this month showed me that, at least for me, it's very difficult to fit a game like this into my life at this point. Right now, I have a lot of stuff going on. I have a lot of things I'm going to. I have a lot of sort of like other obligations. This is like an appointment game that really wants you to be able to like regularly get together with your friends and put several hours in at a time. And frankly, just making that happen was very difficult for me.
Yeah.
But like I squeeze gaming in an hour here, an hour and a half there, maybe early in the morning if before I get started with my work day. Like arranging the rest of my time around being able to fit this game in ended up being more challenging than I expected.
Yeah, I think I think the same goes for me. I mean, I have a little bit more time and a couple more gaming friends who do have access to this game, which is why I picked it, because I thought, oh, okay, like I've already got people that'll be able to help me rope me in. But even getting, and this is no slight to anyone's fault at all, like any one person's fault, even getting people who were already familiar with this game in and running at the same time was a very... it was a very taxing process. I tried streaming it on my Sunday streams, on my personal stream, and the first 20 to 30 minutes of every time we tried to do this was just spent fiddling with the fucking like audio hookup settings that, that Sea of Thieves and Microsoft have sort of fandangled into a terrible rat's nest of nothingness. Like the in-game audio, everyone I've talked to that's played this game never uses the in-game audio. The people that we did run into in this game were not using the in-game audio. There was no sense of like
The one time I tried to play on my own, I created a session and some rando joined me and then immediately was talking over his mic like, audio? Are you on audio? And then I just quit that session rather than try and figure out how to carry the interaction forward.
So that's, well, that's... That's news to me.
I was like, stranger on mic? Oh,
okay.
Big question mark? Not sure?
Interesting. Interesting. No, I suppose there is a lot of anxiety. And there's a... There's a hefty price of entry that I've alluded to, and some of that is set up. A lot of that is also just the actual cost of this game. I think this game being as expensive as it is, and then also being as difficult to get into in terms of getting actually good at it or understanding what you're even supposed to fucking do in the first place.
Right. Like when I look back to like, when I think about our initial impressions, right, the two things I was struck by was, one, I thought the game was very polished, and two, I was very confused by the keybinds. And in hindsight, I think the graphics and the music and like the voice acting and stuff are incredibly polished. I think the keybinds were a warning sign that in general, I think the interface design in this game, and I don't just mean like the GUI, I mean the overall ways that you sort of interact with things, it's kind of trying to do a sort of like similar to like what they did with Red Dead Redemption 2 type thing, where like everything is physically instantiated in the world in some way. But it was really always kind of baffling to try and wrap my arms around how to really engage with it.
It was like a Nintendo game, but worse. Like, we never really got used to the weirdness of the controls after our several play sessions. It's not like Tears of the Kingdom where you're like, well, they made some bad choices with this, but like, I could kind of get used to it. Like, why do I have to like run on the bottom button and then jump on the top button, right? Or something, you know, like Tears of the Kingdom had that sort of thing, and Pokemon's the same way. Nintendo has these weird controls, but eventually you kind of get used to them. I never stopped accidentally turning the map around, or like accidentally just like having to completely forget which radial my scope was in and other things like that. I also want to talk about
One other very important thing.
Oh yeah,
I think it did not help that both you and I, this game made us actually physically nauseous.
Okay, well I'm glad you interrupted me to say the thing I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Because then I don't have to say it. Yeah, it's what happens with the traveling in this game, and I'm somebody who has in the past gotten ocean sick, not boat sick. I got sick once I got in the ocean, which is funny, and then I threw up in the ocean, but I was fine on the boat. Anyway, what happened was what happens with this game is that once your boat, you're trying so hard to steer and do the sails and things, and once your boat gets into some choppy waters, your vision is still like at a completely parallel to not this, like it's parallel to an invisible sort of quote unquote surface of the game. Like you're looking straight forward, but your boat is going up and down
all the time
at some outrageously like almost like 75 degree angles up and down. So what you're kind of in effect seeing, like your field of vision is in effect like switching from going from 150 to 160 degrees of just like up and down of like a nasty oscillation sickness, because your character model is just never moving with the world. And that I always felt was really weird. I always felt like the world was sort of this, it was so hard to interact with that I didn't feel like I was actually a part of it, which stunk, because there's a couple of, I mean, one stream, my friends and I, we went up and we found this like dungeon where we ended up having to kill a lot of skeletons and then solve this like cool laser constellation puzzle and then like unlock vaults of gold and get treasure and then take that treasure back. And part of the game, but that's really cool. And the problem is that I don't know that the journey and the travel time really helped amplify my enjoyment of the adventure in any way.
It feels like what's supposed to happen with the travel time is that the travel time is supposed to create opportunities for other spontaneous weird things to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like either you stumble across things you didn't expect, or people attack you and you have to fight them off,
or you're in the crow's nest and you catch fire or something.
Yes,
stupid like
but
that.
But we didn't discover anything we didn't expect. And when you and I tried to play the other night, we picked up a tutorial quest. We ran to the island to get the little skull you get for the tutorial quest.
It was so
quest.
Confusing. Yeah.
And then once we got it, some other folks sailed by, set our ship on fire, killed us, and took the skull. And it's like,
all right.
Okay, I get that we're playing in like the PvP mode, but also this is the tutorial quest? Like,
Yeah, like, okay, this is what we tried it because we're like, all right, well, we're not getting anything done. And I want to compare this game to a game like Diablo 4. This game and Diablo 4 both have one thing very similar in that they're both a live service game and they have all sorts of disparate little progress bars and reputation bars and rewards bars and rewards tracks that you can sign up for to get you to keep playing. This, what Diablo 4 does is that it has this sort of main story quest package that you're given with the price of entry to the game. And then as you're completing that story, you're getting little hits of, oh, you have this thing unlocked. You have this cosmetic or this sword and this thing unlocked from the battle pass or whatever. I think a better job, Blizzard does a better job than Rare and Microsoft of slowly introducing its drip feed of extra, I call them extracurricular rewards, and this game does not at all. It is, I still don't, like, I know what I'm supposed to have unlocked, right? And I know, like, there's like a battle pass, and then there's the Order of Souls, and the Order of Gold, and the Order of Merchants track, and this other track, and it was all so overwhelming and uninteresting at the same time.
I admire theoretically. I really do admire theoretically that this game is attempting to be quite mechanically simple. I think it is a good thing to experiment and have games that don't have like a billion systems stacked on top of each other and six different XP bars and stuff like that. But this felt for me almost a little too stripped down. Again, like and if there's more, I didn't get it teased, or like I didn't get any kind of sense of like where I would be heading.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's it was hard interacting with the interface. It was annoying trying to manage my inventory and my items and figure out which barrel was which on the ship at any given time. It was just would have been a it asked a lot and didn't really give too much for us to continue playing it that much, I think. I'm speaking for both of us.
No, I agree with that. I would say this. If you're someone who likes this game and you're in our Discord or anything, please, like, tell us what it is that you dig about it. I would like to know sort of, like, what the angle is that people come at this game to have a good time. Because I know people do. I have seen streamers who, like, you know, regularly sail with, like, three other people. And, like, they seem to have a blast getting into, like, hijinks on the high seas and stuff like that. And just the line from A to B, from where the game kind of dropped us in to where we get to the fun, it was just kind of opaque to me the entire time.
I think I agree with that, and I would love to hear more of your guys' thoughts. You can join our Discord, or you can email us. I think both of those links are in the link pop in the description of the episode, and those are excellent uses of them. Thank you for bringing that up, Alex. Let's pivot into some more positive discussions here. We are going to get into a little bit of spoiler discussion for...
Spoiler discussion.
Okay, that's the sting, I guess. There's no segment name for this. I want to talk first about Nancy Drew and the Shattered Medallion.
Yeah, what'd you think of the end of that game?
Holy shit. I finished this game last Tuesday on my stream. The VOD is up if you want to go check that out. And it's... what a hoot. So I realized this too. I think maybe like 3 days after I finished the end of the game, I kind of stopped myself in my tracks when I was doing something completely unrelated. And I was like, I don't know who cut the rope bridge. I still don't know who did that.
I think it was the one girl. I think it was, what's her name?
It was the girl, but like the comic hinted it was the guy.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, we don't know. We don't know why she would have done that either. Like, what does... I don't know anything. I don't know. And, yeah, I guess the Alliance girl, she said she played us from the start. And I was like, how? What? What are you talking about? Her antagonism was what I thought was just, like, a bit, right? Because it was like, oh, this is kind of a thin, like... She's, like, playing up for the camera. Like, this is what reality stars do. But there was just... There was nothing specific at all, so like the bit was bad, and then also when it turns out she was just actually mad at us and tried to kill us over and over again, I was like, huh? Why?
This game, for the first 2 hours, I was kind of like, oh, okay, we're kind of like learning about the actual ecology of New Zealand, we're kind of learning a bit about like Maori culture or whatever this game thinks. Yeah, and then it's like, oh, by the way, ancient aliens. And I was like,
I forgot that I hadn't made it that far.
Okay.
I forgot that I had not made it that far.
That's what I wanted you to find in the back rooms. I was like, are you going to find the note where he talks about his theory about how the aliens are possible?
I also don't fully understand. I think Jamila is part of a different game, I guess. I think there's a whole, like, I think there's deep lore that I'm not aware of.
Not really. The guy, the blue hair guy, what's his name?
Sunny.
Sunny's awful. Kind of been like a recurring background character in some of the games. He's kind of a running joke in the fandom.
Ew, really?
And so, like, they were like, now we're going to give him a game where he's a main character. And everyone was like, why did you do that? This sucks.
Yeah, this is so unpleasant.
Reading the Reddit threads for this game in the Nancy Drew Reddit is a hoot because
oh my god, I have to do it.
I don't understand this game at all.
The puzzles weren't particularly great either. The end puzzle was very brute forcible. Like you could just like rotate the compass around and then it would just accidentally unlock. And I was like, all right. I mean, I guess I'm supposed to look through this comic at the randomly placed astrology and then Nordic rune symbols. And then at the end of the game, all that happens is that compass lights up a little bit.
Yeah, but it indicates that like mysterious things are out there. Okay. The world is not yet fully known.
I think that's just a light bright.
Doesn't that like inspire your sense of adventure?
No, but what does inspire me was Patrick's crowning moment. His glorious
I know, it's so good. Gorilla.
Like, did you finish the game by the time we had recorded the episode? Because
I had, yes.
Okay, so you did, because you did pointed that out on purpose.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I was like, all right. That's, all right, yeah, he's like a gorilla. He sinks to the bottom and then just, like, pulls a lever. And I was like, anyone could have done that.
No, only he could have done it.
Anyone could have just swum down
there.
He's
denser than average.
There's a lever. We have scuba suits. How did they also find the hole from above? Why couldn't we have entered that cavern from above?
Oh, God. Games that do this drive me crazy. So many times, like, I love slash hate a game where you get to, like, the big secret, like, chamber at the end, and it's got a bunch of big windows. Riddle of the Sphinx did this, which is, like, a PC adventure game from the early 90s. We can't do it.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. Riddle of the Sphinx. And then when they were like, Bess is back, I was like, oh, she doesn't feel bad.
Great.
But the moment where we did toss the medallion right before Kiri to force the tie, quote unquote, was so funny. She's just like, out of my way. And then just like madly fast walks like the dad from Malcolm in the Middle towards the fucking medallion. It was perfect. That game, loved that shitty game. It was great. Yeah, I can't wait to play more.
We're playing a good one next time.
I'm playing on my stream personally. I'm starting the final scene because that was the one that was recommended to me by a person that came to my chat.
You'll have a lot of fun with the final scene.
She's like, all right, just I'm gonna give you a normal one.
it's not the one I would have picked next, but the final scene is a good time.
But those are the ones I have already in my inventory.
That's true.
So I was like, because we got those in the bundle. I was like, all right, well, these are those three. And it's like, well, one of these is an old Nancy Drew game, and it'll be a very different experience. So I look forward to it. But yeah, my introduction to Nancy Drew thus far has been pretty crazy.
We started right at the end of the franchise
when
they're all bad.
I am the River Song of the Nancy Drew franchise.
I mean, I don't want to set the bar too high. There's a certain, like, it's a certain character to them that exists throughout the entire series. Don't worry.
I can't wait. Continuing our spoiler discussion, our last game of Goldvember that we have to continue our discussion on, The Rise of the Golden Idol. I did finish that a couple days. I took a few days to, you know, let it digest. Finish it afterwards. So if you haven't finished Rise of the Golden Idol at this point, you're still listening. I'll have timestamps this episode.
Yeah,
so
jump ahead.
Jump ahead to the either the ad break or, you know what? No, I'm leaving you right at the ad break. You have to listen to the ads so that we get paid real money.
Real money.
Anyway, it's Rise of the Golden Idol time. Oh wow, what an ending! This game is good. It's really good.
It's really, I found a couple points a little narratively frustrating.
Okay, like I'm ready to talk about it. This is, so I had mentioned before how I didn't really know what the big prestige or big reveal was going to be, and I think that held true mostly until it was time for me to sort of deduce it. I think by the end of like 5-4 and the doc scene when things were going, or maybe just after that, kind of as the final showdown sort of started, I was like, all right, well, like this, the main character, the hunter wolf sort of has been like, this has to be Jack because it's the only person who like talks this way or writes this way. I think that's a credit to this game writing.
Gets
Rain's writing, like, this is the only person who would write this sort of objectively, who would like treat these people the way that he's treating them and treat this process the way he's doing that. So like Hunter, and then I like the big reveal there is, of course, yeah, Hunter Wolf is Jack, and Hunter Wolf is a name that has been successfully in the background of the first chapters of The Golden Idol, but it's very hard to pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
The Hunter Wolf drawing is in on the note that is given to the early couple that found the Isaac's body, which was really interesting. Hunter Wolf is also like in the sort of dossier that's in the meta chapter where like there's that picture of that one dude and they're talking about all the different warehouses. So it's just like the game does a really good job of sort of flooding you with a bunch of information about the case, but pointing you in a slightly different direction. And then the Red Curse kind of fades to the background until it comes back in a major way, mm-hmm. which I thought was really cool and really satisfying.
I think my problem was I got totally thrown off mm-hmm. by the chapter that now actually I think is probably set up for the DLC, which is I got totally thrown off by the side plot about the old professor guy getting possessed by the ancient Lemurian.
I don't think it is about, at least not about the first DLC. The first DLC they put a press release out, and that one is actually about I think the Lemurian lady. Well, maybe the old professor guy too, but hold on. So one thing we didn't mention is that yes, the Golden Idol is going to get four cases of DLC afterwards. The first of these investigations, The Sins of New Wells, is actually going to follow Detective Roy Sampson through the four cases, four new cases he deals with as an organized crime syndicate plaguing the city. Because he's the detective at the start that was taken off of the Red Curse case.
Right. Okay.
While butting the bribe so that, like, Jack could just put everything under the rug and continue experimenting or continue planning. So, like, the experiments had already happened, obviously. He's continuing to plan his world education scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So what he wants to do is use the Golden Idol to basically turn millions of people into the brilliant professor, his father. Grandfather? Uncle.
Uncle, yeah. That's right. Yeah, uncle. Yep. Lots of uncle relationships in these games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is just, look, I know this is unrealistic of me. Like, my other little narrative bit with this at the end of this game is I kind of wanted it to work.
I'll tell you what. I like that it didn't. Okay. I like that it didn't. I see where you're coming from.
I'm such a big, like, change the status quo guy. Like, sure, hey, make everyone Isaac.
Yeah, like, in a Watchmen sort of way. Sorry, spoilers for Watchmen. We're like, already done or something like that. I love the irony that the only person he ended up sort of quote-unquote erasing was himself, because that was truly representative of his struggle and of his, like, of his toying with these forces that he doesn't understand. He's, like, suddenly he's changing his identity, working in the shadows and becoming this sort of criminal person who's, like, manipulating these lives and being a different person altogether. I like that he ended up just only undoing himself. I thought that was a really, really satisfying hoist to his own petard.
Sure.
And also hoisted by the idiot that fails up again.
That bit too.
Yes! I'm so glad they did it again. I had no idea if they were going to do it again with Eugene Marmot being like,
man, he got by this
accidentally
idiot
by the idiot, just like Lazarus in this game before. Fucking incredible! I thought that was really, really cool how that narrative through line, how humanity ends up saving itself through its own stupidity. It gets in its own way with these, like, little sort of. By people who are misguided in their efforts to try to improve the lives of others too fast, ending up like by the natural entropy of humanity is so funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if the first game was kind of about how this sort of, like, this mysticism, whatever you, like, this sort of approach to mysticism and how it ends up being kind of, like, transformed into a tool of power and domination, this game, like, again, interesting theme, like, just interesting and sort of, like, basic yet robust themes, like how this game is about the ways that all this mysticism ends up being captured and directed by capital, right? What do they do with it? They make a thing to advertise soda pop.
Yeah, advertise soda pop with drugs in it.
Mm-hmm.
my favorite case ended up being, I think it was either the warehouse case or the auction house that was really good. Womp womp. Actually, it's the apartment complex. Womp womp. And I loved that the professor ended up being the guy on the motorcycle that was in the credits
in the opening
segment too. I like that he just ended up sort of disappearing into the city after he got absorbed by the ancient Lemurian with the memories. I don't know if there's anything, like, I don't know what story there is to tell with this guy. This guy, like, just got transported. I mean, I guess it's an interesting story. He just got transported into a crazy different world after apparently being imprisoned. I guess I would like to know how that happened. And then I'd like to know more how that happened, less what he does from here. What I imagine he would do from here is just say, fuck it, and just vanish.
I see. This is, like, one of my favorite kind of, like, supervillain, like, archetypes is the sort of, like, ancient guy who gets rewoken in modern society and has to go underground while he figures out how to, like, you know, acclimate and take power within a new world.
We may need to know what he was up to that would get him to have his memory stored in the seal to begin with.
Yes.
So there's a lot to speculate on. One One interesting counterpoint to the story that I want to bring forward that's not mine. Senior Bud Zass, we were talking about this. I want to see what you think about it.
Okay.
He found that the plot to change, he found that it would be, he thought that it would be unrealistic for Jack to want to inflict that sort of curse of having Isaac's memories in everyone. And he thought that there's no way Jack would do that, and that there's no way that Isaac would want Jack to do that. And I agree with the latter part of that. I would think that it would really suck for all of the mm-hmm. Isaacs to wake up to realize that there's that millions of people have essentially died to make this grandmaster human enlightenment plan come to fruition. Personally, I guess what is your take on that?
I sort of agree with Zaff on that one. I think for me, this is again part of why I think I had trouble with the last case. And maybe I missed the signs earlier. Maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention, or I didn't connect the dots. But like, I did not really get the sense that Jack was like, had like megalomania in that way. He's very scientific and he's very precise and all that stuff, but the sort of like grand sweeping vision for the remaking of humanity, I did not pick up on the seeds of that in his character prior to the kind of the final sequence.
I could tell that he that's an interesting point. I think that if I'm thinking back, the seeds must have been planted in his relationship with Eugene Marmot, and how he constantly thought he was an idiot and he wanted to improve, like,
sure, right,
and how like he could possibly be resentful of the idiot like him. And then also in the guy's name, Nathan Hoyle, the co-chair, this entire company is just run by a bunch of circus. Oh, we should also call out, you know, when we reveal that you can the reveal with the live broadcast.
Oh,
that
yeah.
shit was so funny.
Oh,
just what you
I know,
just,
in the boardroom when
the boardroom, there's just one woman. You like it just puts you on one woman, and she's just, her thing is just whore. That's all she says. And then the other woman's like, "You frigid bitch." So fucking funny. And then you pan back to the broadcasting room, and you click on the phone that's listening in to the conversation in the boardroom, and it just hits you with whore again.
It's very funny.
That's the perfect.
That was, I like that case. That case was funny in terms of just like the overall setup.
It wasn't hard, but it was so funny, and it was a cool idea. And of course, it set up the big sort of Ozymandias-esque Grandmaster plan too. Oh God, so funny. Yeah, Rise of the Golden Idol. I think just as good as the original. They did it again. You know. I'm real thrilled with it.
Super curious what like I assume at this point this game's gonna be at least a trilogy, and I'm super
Maybe.
Curious what like the next chapter in this could be.
Or they might be fucking sick of it and they're done. Okay. Who knows? Maybe I have no clue.
Maybe they're sick of it, but I don't know. I want this game but set in the year 2175.
I want it set in the year 875
okay.
with ancient Lemurians, or even before then, with like how that how did Echo Secunda happen? I want to know how all this want to see all this technology work, because he grabbed that freaking force field thing or mm-hmm. that invisibility cloak and made that work. And everyone has, there's all this lost technology. There's more than just the idol that exists. There's all this lost technology.
Which also, is this even the same idol?
No.
Okay, yeah.
Like, it's maybe, or it's one of the same models. It's hard to say. Probably not. I don't know.
I guess, yeah.
It certainly like, doesn't function
it's
the same way.
It's shaped differently. It functions differently. It's got the same symbols. Yeah, I guess.
It has similar symbols. I think the memories one is new. The memories one is, I don't think, in the first game.
You're right, yeah. But like the add, subtract, like all that stuff.
Like it's mm-hmm. the idol is just a piece of the puzzle. It's not the be-all and end-all of the mysticism. It's just like, that's just one of the many, many tools that these weird warlocks of this ancient world seem to use. So I'm interested in more and more of that. Thank you very much. I like that they just did, oh God, we keep talking about it because it's so good, but I like that they just did one new thing. It was mm-hmm. just the memory thing.
Yeah.
And they really strung it out, and they did a good job of like having like demonstrating that the people that got a hold of this were not capable of figuring it out right away and had the wrong idea of what was going on, and that it took a whole lot of people and a whole lot of things to figure out this one simple keyword.
I think it is a sign. It is a sign of like of strength of writing and strength of narrative to be able to take kind of a single sci-fi concept like the memory overwriting thing and to like push it and contort it and do as many different things with it as they do in this game.
Yeah, excellent, excellent game. I'm assuming you've already played it if you listened this far, and if you haven't played it. Well, I hope you enjoyed our recap of it. We are going to go into our usual ad break. I am going to go make a sick tube dress while that happens. It'll be really great. And we'll be right back. I'll be right back after the ad's done with my cool new dress.
We're going to read some ads.
Hi, my name's Gary Fuck. And I'm here to advertise my store, Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts. That's right. It's a truck nut store run by Gary Fuck. And you can get your truck nuts at Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts over on Racine and Lincoln in Chicago, Illinois. That's right. This is your one-stop shop for truck nuts. You want truck nuts? We got them at Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts. That's right. That's right. I'm Gary Fuck. You can see me personally work. I work every day, Monday through Sunday. 10 to 5 at Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts. We got every kind of nut you want. You want a nut?
Yes. I would like 2 nuts for my truck.
Fantastic.
But tell me, are you having a Black Friday sale?
We are absolutely having a Black Friday sale. We got every kind of nut on sale. We got baboon nuts, 50% off. We got tiger nuts, 25% off.
Wow.
We got cat nuts, 16.5% off.
Crazy.
The cat nuts are made out of real nuts. We got pine nuts. 26% off. Macadamia nuts, walnuts, both 33% off. We got 2 bags of trail mix with nuts in them that are taped together to look like nuts. That's nuts in nuts on your nuts for your truck nuts.
These deals are incredible.
The nuts taped together are 99% off. I found them on the floor in the basement. They were in a circle of chalk. They might be cursed.
But now tell me, Gary, if I need plumbing hardware, do you have me? Do you have what I need?
No, this is a truck. This is a truck nut store. Get out of here, child. You can't afford these nuts even with the Black Friday sale. Get out. Get out. Shoo. 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 Shoo.
Oh, geez,
shoo.
Okay,
shoo.
Going.
Eat broom.
Oh, fine. Wow.
All right. Fantastic. Well, we got every kind of nut you could ask for at Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts over on Lincoln and Racine. I can only advertise in so many places, like on TV after 3 o'clock in the morning and before 6 o'clock in the morning, and on podcasts with under 30 Spotify reviews, like this one. It's due to the name. I can't get it changed. Every time I put my name in the name changer, they reject it because they think I'm fucking with them. I mean, I am, because everything I do is fucking with them, because I'm Gary Fuck, but that's my real last name. My birth certificate is censored. It's really difficult to get documented in this country for me, Gary Fuck. I can't get any other job because every time I try to apply, it gets rejected by the auto censors of the job application. So I had to start my own business, and that's Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts over on Racine and Lincoln in Chicago. You can come there Monday through Sunday, 10 to 5. We're open. We're waiting. We got every nut you could ask for. Oh my God.
Please let me back in.
Is that former President Lyndon B. Johnson at my store? Come on in, former President Lyndon B. Johnson. I'm sorry I kicked you out 60 years ago. I've missed you ever since.
It's me, Lyndon B. Johnson.
That's right. Holy cow.
I famously swallow half my vowels.
But you don't need that many vowels to take advantage of these sweet presidential deals going from Black Friday till President's Day. We got all sorts of nuts for you. We got Lincoln log nuts for Lincoln. That's 1 cent off. We got a couple of bullets tied together with dental floss for Alexander Hamilton. Wait, he wasn't a president. Fuck that shit. We're throwing this shit out. That's free. You can have him. Which nuts are you interested in, former President Lyndon B. Johnson?
Well, I think I would like a pair of walnuts.
All right. Those walnuts were 33% off. Are you going to pay for them, or are you just going to stand there and look decrepit?
Well, that sounds like the making of a great society. I will hand over my hard-earned presidential cash for those walnuts.
Wow, fantastic. Great doing business with you, President Lyndon B. Johnson. Now go out there and help. Just help. Please help. Please. Please. Anyone.
Thank you. Great seeing you, Gary.
You too, former President Lyndon B. Johnson. Oh, who's that coming at? Who's that coming in to get fucks hut of truck nuts now? Oh my God, it's Mike Wazowski. Come on in, Mike Wazowski.
Hey, it's me, Mike Wazowski.
That's right. Everyone I talk to announces their name. That's the first thing they do.
Well, I gotta say, it was difficult to look in the window of your store because all the signs and posters blocked my one big eye.
Hmm, that's true. That's true, you do have one big eye. What if I could tell you could have two big eyes with these Mike Wazowski nuts that are holding hands? You could drape these across your rearview mirror, and you could have your own very own truck nuts that are you with two eyes.
You know, they do imply in the movie Monsters, Inc. that I have testicles.
Wow, yes, they sure do.
In that bit where I fall on that girder.
Yeah, absolutely. That looked really painful. That was a porcupine, if I'm not mistaken. And then they took you to the ER. That was a rough watch. My niece, Alicia Keys, went in. She started crying because you acted so good, like you were in real pain. That was a good job, Mike Wazowski. You're a great actor. Here, take these truck nuts for free.
Wow, thanks. I'm going to tell everyone about Gary Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts.
Fantastic. Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts, at your service. You can put your truck nuts anywhere you want. You can put them on your rearview mirror. You can put them on your tailgate. You can put them in your exhaust pipe. You can put them on your airbags. You can put them in your steering wheel. You can put them in your passenger seat. You can put them in your windshield. That's right. You can put them anywhere you want. You can put them on your mother's casket. Anywhere you want. That's Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts. Bury them with your mom.
I'm going to leave now.
All right, get out of here. We're closing anyway. It's 5 o'clock. Fuck's Hut of Truck Nuts. Fuck out. I'm back, and I've got my new tube dress.
Wow, sexy.
Thanks. What do you think is sexy? What do you like about it?
I like that it makes you 11 feet tall and like you're wobbling back and forth.
That's
like crazy.
Right. Do you like the transparent neon fabric I've used?
I don't know about the giant compressor you have to drag around behind you into every room.
It's part of the look. It's the new fashion. It's the new fashion, okay? And it's, I know, it's going to be, I'm going to have to cut the noise out of it for this podcast. But I think it's really the true me.
Well, you know, we'll know if the monster from Nope shows up because you'll just collapse immediately. That'll be convenient.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, damn, I didn't think about that. Partly because I haven't seen that movie.
That movie rules. Nope is great.
Okay, I'll put it on the infinite list of movies I have yet to see.
Jordan Peele, 3 for 3.
Great. Well, I'd love to hear it. Okay. Well, we're finished off with Goldmember now. I think it was a good theme, you know. It just took us some interesting places. I think the three non-huge games that we played were really good.
I mean, Rise of the Golden Idol is going to be like my top 5 games of the year. So,
oh, for
yeah,
sure.
Definitely worthwhile.
And but speaking of sunsetting, we are going to sunset the year 2024. And we're going to talk about the rest of our programming for Stormbuds for the week. And it's going to be a short segment because we've only got 3 episodes. And you already know one of them. The Heavens Awards are a-coming. And by the time this episode is up, maybe a day or two after, if I forget, I know me. There will be a couple of pinned polls in the Discord for the Buds Choice Awards. So you guys are going to participate in choosing some of our favorites, games, and things like that. Of course, if you missed the first Heavens Awards, they are still up there from January of this year. Those focused specifically on Final Fantasy XIV. These Heavens Awards are going to just talk about the games that we played this year. It's going to be another superlative sunset show, a year in review, and just a nice time to reflect on all of the games that we got out of our backlog. So that's coming on, it's already penciled in for December 15th, but December 1st and 8th, we do have a small theme going for December, and I think this is one that will come back in the future because there are a lot of games like this.
Definitely, which I want to play.
This is, of course, our time to get into December. We're going to play a couple sim games.
Yes, we're classic sim games. We're going back
well,
to...
Well, one classic sim game and one new sim game. Newish. I mean, updating live sim game.
We'll talk about the history. Both of them spring out of the Maxis lineage.
The first game we're going to talk about December 1st is Maxis's Sim Ant, which is a game we've mentioned on this show a couple times
once or twice, and I expressed some interest in getting into it. And we'll see what that's all about. If you're older than me, maybe even that this game was on your PC at school and you remember playing it.
I mean, I played this game a bunch as a kid.
Oh, really?
We'll get into it. We'll get into my personal history with Maxis specifically.
Look forward to that. And then we're going to also, in the following episode, talk about Sims 4. We're talking about I think we might talk a little bit about the recent expansion that came out. But more importantly, we're going to talk about the gameplay itself. I've already started playing it and gotten some really fun outcomes on some of the scenarios that are in Sim 4. Talk about scenarios and how to use them to get into the Sims 4. And it's going to be a delightful time. There's not really a whole lot to otherwise argue or discuss with here. We don't have a pool of Sim games yet.
We're going out low key, I think. We're going pretty low key. Nice and relaxed. We're having some fun playing around with some sandboxes.
And we are going to take this time to fully craft the perfect awards and the perfect award winners for our Heavens Awards ceremony. I promise this year there will be no crab chip.
I don't mind the crab chip.
I didn't like editing it.
Audio poison, sure. I guess
it was.
Okay.
It was like, okay. This is this was funnier when it was live. I don't know if I want to do it again when there's not an audience.
What if we brought in some donuts that tasted of anchovies or something?
Yeah. What if? Well, we're not going to do that. Probably. I don't want my home to smell like anchovies for one. So that would suck. But what's not going to suck is the rest of these episodes this month. And what also doesn't suck is the support we keep getting from you guys. Thank you so much for having listened to us thus far and continuing to listen. Of course, the last episode or the last week of the year, we are taking off as part of our winter break. So we're taking a break on the 29th all the way up until February 2nd. So January is going to be a time for peace, for rest, but also have time for growth and a little bit of change. Not too much change, just a little bit of an update of the show to kind of reflect what we're actually doing, as opposed to just sort of having to coast
on kind of the coast Final Fantasy stuff.
Yeah. So we'll come back and we'll be refreshed and hopefully better than ever with that once we're done with that break. But we're just, again, letting you guys know that we will be out for the month of January, but we're excited to talk about our Sim games of choice this month of December. If you want to keep connected with us, we've mentioned this a couple times in the episode already, but you can join the Discord in the link in the description below. You can also follow me on my personal Twitch account, twitch.tv/JeromeBarbatzes, where I will be streaming The Sims every Sunday and more Nancy Drew games every Tuesday. My God, those Nancy Drew streams are fun.
I got tuned in for some of those.
Yeah, they are very fun. They're a great way to connect, and I think this is something what I love about those streams is that it feels like I finally found a game where I'm playing the game with the people that are watching.
Sure.
I'm not necessarily either distracted by or trying to explain the game that I'm playing to the people that are watching. We're kind of in it together, and I think that's really the vibe I like to go for. And that's kind of that's kind of what we were doing that made Stormbud so good, is that we were kind of playing this game and talking about it together. And I kind of clicked now that's sort of what makes for successful gaming entertainment for me. So I'm going to keep doing that kind of stuff with The Sims. Hopefully. I mean, we all kind of get The Sims, right?
Yeah, everyone knows. I would be surprised if we had people listening who had not at least played The Sims once.
Yeah. And if you haven't, join us. Sims 4, I think, is free to start.
Yeah, free to start.
You get those freaking scenarios.
Because it has $1 million worth of DLC you can buy.
Yeah, but there is still a full functioning game that's free now.
Yes.
That's great. Am I going to buy some of this DLC? Hell yes. I cannot wait.
Going to get one of the IKEA furniture packs?
Probably. I don't know. Does it have a blow high in it?
Might have a Billy bookcase.
I would love a blow high to cuddle when I sleep.
Yeah.
The good old shark. All right. Well, we'll see you for the month of December. The Dutch accent is over. Farewell. Farewell to you. Perhaps Goldvember will make a return in the future. I don't know.
There weren't that many more games on the gold list.
There might be. There's going to have to be another big gold game coming out next November. Golden Sun 3? No, that already came out, and it was mid. I forgot about that.
Yeah, didn't like it.
Oh, well. Anyway, without much further ado, I have been your Golden Boy of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I was joined by our fellow Golden Boy of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodnight to the Golden Buds.
Good evening. Our first 10-minute ad read.
It's Fucks Out of Truck Nuts.
Fucks Out of Truck Nuts is very good. Don't get me wrong. I know you say it doesn't matter, but I feel like I got to practice doing some voices just so I have a different repertoire of like a couple of things. Yeah, but I always do the same voice with minor variations.
You don't even have to do a voice. You can just be like, yes, it is me, Mike. You don't even have to say it's me, Mike Wazowski. You just be like, hello, that's Mike Wazowski. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters.